It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to finish up the chapter, look at the verse 33 and 34 in chapter 6, and then on to chapter 7. And so while we're looking, you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th, and we're in 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to phone us here at the church, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you would like to email us, it'd be at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, whichever you prefer. And I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll prepare for the study by reading God's precious Word, Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of God's precious Word. Father, I just ask that you'll guide and lead us and prepare us for the study today. That your will and way be done, that your word be proclaimed clearly and correctly, and that the hearts of man will be changed and turned unto you. It's so important, dear Father, that we surrender our lives to you and praise you and just acknowledge that you're the one that gives us all the blessings, not the world or the earth or any such thing, but it comes from you, dear Father. Thank you for your willingness to serve, to give us that we may serve you. Give us the power and the strength and the wisdom. And I ask that we do not misuse that, but we use it to your honor and glory. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity now. Bless this study. Bring those that do not know you as their Savior to you. Draw them today by way of the cross, only way of salvation, and the only means of salvation is to trust in you as our personal Savior. That's the only way, by grace, not by works, dear Father. So please, just guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Something that's a good rule for all of us to follow, and that is seek ye first the kingdom of God. Does not only mean that we should seek his will for salvation, but then we should seek his will and way for our lives and begin to walk with him and serve him and praise him. And so please, as a little bit of review here, understand that the opportunities are endless for us to be blessed. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to be blessed financially. It doesn't even mean that we'll be blessed with good health. It does mean that we will be blessed and given the strength to go through any problem, anything that arrives. we will have the strength. We will have the wisdom to know what to do. We'll have the power to endure. And so please understand that that's the only means. Otherwise, you just struggle through it yourself. You will have trouble and heartache and problems, but there'll be no comparison to the victories that you can enjoy if you would seek first God's power and strength. Come by faith to Him for salvation. You must do that. You just must do that. It's by grace, not by works, as most places preach and teach today. There is a works connected to your salvation. There is not. It is by grace and God's grace alone. We've got a wonderful study in 1 John that we're enjoying, and it clearly tells us the strength and the power that we have, the victory that we have. Our sins are taken away, and that means they are removed, not that, well, they'll return. They'll come back if you do something wicked or evil. When you come by faith to Jesus, trust in His precious shed blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. Believe that He has come to save you. Believe that. And if you would, if you do, then victory will come. Wonderful, glorious victory will come. So please, look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, and then begin with this wonderful walk, and just each day seek His will. Look to His Word, His precious Word. Please do not leave the old King James. Most have. And it's to your own condemnation, to your own, say, oh, I'm saved. I enjoy reading this other version. Well, that's fine, but what you're doing is you're setting forth for your children, your grandchildren, maybe nieces and nephews, cousins, friends, that the salvation will not exist for them. He said, oh, it's there. I understand. I can see it. The power of God is lessened when you leave the old King James. So please, two things I'm going to ask you to do. Get your old King James Bible out and stay with it. And forget all these choruses and repetition that you sing today. Go back to the old hymns. Look to those old hymns, and you will get such a blessing. It'll bring you to salvation if you're not saved. And you will be blessed so that the strength and the peace that'll come, the wisdom that you'll have. So please, I ask that you do those two things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we need to understand that. Believers are to seek first to be born again, and then seeking after the new birth, after you've received the Holy Spirit, then you will begin to understand and seek and learn righteousness and learn God's way, and you will be seeking the right way, the path of righteousness, the path of right way. And that's what's so important for you and for me. And then we have learned, and we're going to go to that, and then we'll begin the study today. This is all just wonderful review. I believe that we need to do this. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy. When we learn the books of the Bible, we come to the five T's. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. And so it's important that you know where to find and how to learn the Word of God. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. Good for all of us to have and possess and learn and enjoy. And so please that you look to that. Now, we're going to move on now to verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've heard people say, we're getting enough trouble today, we don't need to borrow from tomorrow. Well, there's some truth to that. This evil it's talking about is suffering, just regular human suffering, that whether it's by disease or by heartaches or things breaking down, whatever it is, whatever misery or woe or disappointment or trouble that comes into your life, whatever brings tears to your eyes, we got enough today. The evil word there means adversity. And we're going to look at the precious gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 16, verse 25. There's a story there for us to see. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 25. Now, there's a story that builds ahead of this, and I'm going to go ahead and read that because it's too important for us not to look at it. Luke chapter 16, beginning to read with verse 19. There's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said to them, to him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead. That is such a sad, sad story. A man had everything. Had everything, and he had nothing. Because as Lazarus died, Lazarus lived what we would call a horrible life. The only doctor he had was the dog licking his sores. Begged food from the master's table. He died. But so'd the rich man. But Lazarus, even though he lived such what we'd call a horrible life, we find that he found grace with God. He trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, even though he was being led down the road that would seem to be a horrible life. Lazarus knew that it was just as the scripture said, just a vapor. This is a short time. I am trusting in my Savior that's going to bless me and care for me. And now he is being comforted. Number one, a couple of things I love in this text is that Lazarus was taken by the angels into the presence of the Lord. Into Abraham. Now, at this time, Jesus hadn't died yet on the cross, and so he couldn't go see to heaven like you and I go. He had to go to a place called paradise. That's where Abraham was. That's where the prophets were at. That's where Moses was at. All those people were there. All those people from the beginning of time went into this place of Abraham's bosom, or paradise, as you might call it. But then right across this great gulf fixed between was this place of torment. And that place of torment, we're not told much about it other than it was so, so hot. And there was flames there. And that man, his soul, now see, he'll be united with his body as Lazarus will as well. Later, but right now, even just in the spirit there, just his soul being there, he was so, so tormented that please, dip your finger and touch my tongue. That's all I'm asking for. I don't want to drink. I don't want to have it rain and a shower to put out these flames. Just touch my tongue with the end of your finger with a drop of water. That's what I'm asking for. That is the level of torment. You're going to face the same thing if you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ. If you refuse coming to Him, you're going to face the very same thing. These words up here, Lazarus, evil things, back in verse 25, is the same evil that it's talking about back here in Matthew concerning the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's the very same word. The daily burdens. Tomorrow will bring its share of sufferings and heartaches and trouble and grief. There's no need to borrow from it. We have enough today. That's what that's saying. So, wonderful words. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And don't try to worry and fret about tomorrow, because we got enough today. That's what this wonderful word is telling us. But what a story back there in Luke. What a sad, sad story. And it's true. Even if Lazarus would have raised from the dead, this his brothers won't pay any attention, because you see, the Word of God with the Spirit of God convicts the heart of man. And if you've rejected the Word of God, which is Moses and the prophets, then even a man raised from the dead, they'd find that's not him. That's somebody that looks like him. That's not the Lazarus we knew at this friend of ours' table or our brother's table. We didn't know that's not him. You see, it's the same thing with you. If you reject the Word of God, the truth. And you can hang on to works, you can hang on to your church membership, you can do all those things and go straight to hell, just like this rich man did. I don't want that. Jesus died for everyone. Please come to Him today and call upon Him today. But what a text back in Luke. And now back to the 7th chapter of Matthew. Judge not that ye be not judged. Those are wonderful words. A lot of people take that. No, you can't judge me. We need to understand that when it says judge not, that doesn't refer to official judgment like the courts would do. as swear not does not prohibit us from being in a civil court and swearing to tell the truth. Those things are just fine. But when we come to the judging here, you know, and Jesus continues a wonderful teaching that he's given us in the past, and he continues to do so, he's giving us some wonderful instruction. Jesus is not telling us, forbidding us, from having an opinion of someone's character or conduct. We have the opportunity to look and to judge properly. Judge them by their fruits. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 and 20. Let's look at those verses very close to us here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do man gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Good question. The other verse of Scripture that helps us with that is 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Don't point your finger at somebody and say, hey, you can't judge me. We have the opportunity and the truth to stand and to proclaim those words, because it's important that we come, that we look to the Word of God for direction, and then we take that direction and we take that wisdom, we take that power, and we look to determine whether that is an individual that we should be fellowshipping with, that we should be around. Does that person live like the devil? Does he curse? Does he use the Lord's name in vain? Does he cheat? Does he steal? Does he lie? All those things are fruit that we can judge. Some people would call it to be a fruit inspector. We're not going to call it a fruit inspector. We're going to call it judgment. We can judge, but see that you use the proper level of judgment, of truth. In other words, don't jump to a conclusion. Don't glance at a person, or don't use hearsay when you're determining a true fact. See that it is truth. Because as the Scripture tells us here, judge not that ye be not judged. You see, we must use the wisdom God has given us as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who he's talking to. He's talking to believers here. He's not talking to the world. The world, they're going to lie and cheat and do all those things. But we need to see that when we do make a judgment call, that it's a right and proper judgment. We need to have a proper judgment. We need to see that we have analyzed the situation. We have looked at it properly. We have not listened to gossip or to rumor. We have not made a judgment by appearance, thinking that, well, look at that person. Look at what the way they dress, or the way they act, or all the tattoos. You know, we're not supposed to do that. The Word of God tells us not to. But see, that soul still needs to be saved. And if they did this when they were lost, then, you know, salvation came into the heart. Well, they can't get rid of all that nonsense. And it is. But it's something that can be forgiven. It's something that we need to join fellowship with them if they're born again and they are rightly sorry for doing that to their bodies. Same goes for all the different cuts and earrings and all those things that you put on multiple. I mean, it's to the point many times that it appears to be almost satanic, and it is. The piercings. God tells us not to do that. And yet, you know, if we've done it in the past before we were saved, okay. And so we need to see that when we are looking at a person, judging a person, that we judge them properly. We judge them by their heart. We judge them by their fruits, what they're doing today, not what they've done in the past before they were saved, but what they're doing today. And if what we see is still evil and wickedness, and they come back and they got one more tattoo. I'm a believer. Listen, I have the right, according to the Word of God, to judge you. Because you are not Christ-like. To be like Jesus. I don't see that. Now, again, we need to be careful. We need to be slow in our judgments. Judge not that we be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Okay? So when I make a judgment, I need to understand that my Lord is going to judge me equally. So when I make a judgment call, when I make that decision, it best be right. It best be true. Because I've got somebody watching me. Everybody says, oh, you can't judge me. Scripture says, judge not that ye be not judged. Well, yes. But it is my responsibility to make these judgments. I need to know who to stay away from. I need to know who to fellowship with. There are many what they call, quote, Christian organizations that are as ungodly as you can believe because they have left the Word of God and they are teaching lies to children. They're teaching lies to the adults. I will stand against them, and it is my responsibility to do so. Will I be judged for that? Yes, I will. God's going to look at the decision that I made. But my dear friend, if it's a good decision, my Lord isn't condemning me. He's agreeing with me. Or I'm agreeing with Him because I've learned it from Him. But as I make that judgment call, as I make this judgment, it is a judgment that I need to be responsible for. This character, this conduct of men, it needs to be by the proper call. It needs to be done properly. By their fruits ye shall know them. And again, Matthew chapter 6, chapter 7, verse 16, the very chapter we're in, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or of figs and thistles? We can see, we can know. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Yes, we shall. What a wonderful scripture verse to look at. Also, verse 24. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. in order to make that decision, you've got to judge them. And we need to. Too many folks, too many times, come, sit right next to us. Oh, I can't judge them. Yes, you can. Use the Word of God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?